just enough chill in the air and maybe some dust and exhaust. But I love it because it means it's harvest time. Bins are all cleaned out, or should be. The service techs are all highly caffeinated, and it's time to get to it. And we're coming along for the ride. Welcome to the Harvest Trail Podcast. We're going to meet up with some of the heroes of the harvest and tell their stories in hopes that when we're through, we're all a little bit smarter. And now to the show. All right, welcome to the Harvest Trail Podcast. We are joined by the legendary Jason Dykey. Jason, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Jeff. How are you today?
Man, I'm great now. I'm great. I'm sorry I was a little delayed. I had to go and refill my coffee. And that's going to help. That's going to help move this show along with a little pep. Where are you at now? Where are you driving to?
Where am I at? I am somewhere between Mason City and Charles City.
Yeah.
And I am driving to the wonderful hills of Elkhona, Iowa.
So the sheriff let you out this morning and you're headed home?
Yeah, is that what it is? Actually, I'm trying to outrun him.
Because there's beer in Texarkana.
Well, we won't talk about that today, now will we?
So talk to me. So what are you doing? Are you running parts? What are you up to?
Actually, I'm going to go out and start a new S9 with the Reichert guidance system. Looking forward to it.
You really are a special human to go out and start up all these customers personally. You don't always have the shop owner do that.
Well, here's the deal. I mean, we only get paid so much money, right? And then money doesn't mean anything. And then all of a sudden you just do it because you absolutely love it. And there's nothing more that I enjoy than working with my customers and seeing these beautiful machines work out in the field to do the things that we need to do.
Yeah. Nah, that's awesome. And I know how much you love doing that because you text me every time you do it. and I enjoy it. It makes me feel like I'm there, but I'm not in the cold. And there's no soybean dust, so it's kind of the best of all worlds.
It's not bad. Today's supposed to be high in 70 today. It's going to be nice.
Yeah, so talk to me about beans.
Beans? God dang it. That's all that we've been talking about. There's beans everywhere. There's beans. I mean, we got little beans, big beans, green beans, dry beans, short beans, large beans, all beans.
So a rumor is that the weather's going to be here in about a week or so. So it's going to be 90 to nothing on the beans?
I think maybe by this weekend we'll have bean harvest wrapped up around here.
No.
At least in my area.
Okay. What does that mean for you? I mean, they're going out.
It's been nonstop. I've been talking to guys till 3-4 in the morning because the dew hasn't been moving in and we've just been able to pound the beans out.
Really? Really? Now talk to me. I mean, you had pretty terrific weather this year. So talk to me about what you're seeing.
We're seeing amazing yields. Seeing some very, very clean samples out there. Wheat pressure has not been an issue. It's been a pretty good harvest so far.
You had good weather this year. I remember talking to Mitch about dust. He said it got nasty this year in dust. But they, you know, they had a situation where it just stopped raining.
We had that in July.
Okay.
We had that in July. The first 2-3 weeks of July, I mean, we needed some rain. And then we got it. And we were getting it like 4 and 5 inches at a crack, and it never ran off. It ran in. So I think that's what's pulling us through right now. But I'm telling you, we're going to need some water for next year.
Pulling in these big, funky, gnarly beans, what is it, what challenge does that pose for you setting up the combine and getting the results you
want? Actually, you know, the biggest thing is calling them away, because, I mean, the yields are awesome. The S-Series cleaners, I'm telling you, they're not art set. To be honest with you, 98% of them so far this year, I've been able to either talk to the customer and say, hey, set this, and go run. And they're like, Jesus, look at the sample. It's absolutely flawless. I'm like, where you said it. They go exactly how you told me to do it.
Wow. Wow.
So, I mean, the
don't even have to get out and get dirty.
No, it's so nice. I mean, the changes that we needed to make, we made from the cab, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Now tell me about corn. What's going on with the corn?
So we've edged in the corn a little bit. Corn yields also look really, really well. I think corn's going to pose some challenges for us this year. We're not black layered. I got some fields that aren't black layered yet.
So what are you thinking? I mean, you.
It's gonna be. I mean, I've got guys already asking me, how do we pull out 25-26% moisture corn?
Now, do they have a market? Do they have a place to sell it where you're at?
No, I got some guys that are feeding cattle that will store high moisture corn.
Okay.
I got other guys that is just going to have to come back to the farm and get dried down on the dryers, That's going to make for a really long harvest if that's the case.
Yeah. Talk about a bottleneck.
But no, it seems like the corn is getting down to that 21% just staying there.
Well, yeah, and it'll be interesting. And then, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens once the beans are in, everyone's ready to get roaring. What will we be like then, and what will it look like?
Right. I mean, if we get another week of high 65s, low 40s at night, that corn will come down quite a few points pretty quick.
So tell me this. I know you love to tinker, and any of the things that have been changed on some of these farmers' farms, are you now able to see some of the results with harvest, or are we still a little early?
You know, have you been around the new command heads at all?
I have, yep.
What an amazing head. One, the only thing that I would change on that head is make the institute same length, period. But other than that, that's been a great head for me. The harvesting efficiency of these combines been great. You know, we're pushing 4,500 bushels an hour, which majority of my guys can't haul that much grain away.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, our limiting factor is still how fast can we get crop away from the machine.
Well, and that's interesting to me because I wondered what that would be like this year. We've heard of some bottlenecks in transportation. Storing at the elevator costs money, and I'll tell you this much.
My wife and I screwed off a little bit Saturday afternoon. We ran over to the Mississippi River and put the boat in for the one last time for our annual leech look, and that water's low. And I'm kind of curious to see what that
does. A good bit of your corn take off that way. It you know, when the corn harvest happens, because we're not in corn right now, not really, but when and the corn that is coming off that's going high moisture, you know, I would assume is going to, you know, a lot of it could be going to local places. But when the corn harvest really goes, I think we're going to get a good look at the state of grain hauling infrastructure, because right. Everyone around you is saying the yields are going to be monstrous, and you know, not everyone's, we're not all going to put grain piles on our property. And so it's got to go somewhere.
I think you're going to see quite a few of those though.
Well, you know, I've talked to other farmers and they're like, look, they've got the pits ready. We just haven't put anything in them. But no, it's going to be, I think we're going to see some constraints. I don't see a way around how we don't have some constraints. That grain's going to have to go. And, you know, it's just, we're going to run out of storage. So,
right. No, we're pretty lucky. I should reiterate, you know, a majority of our corn goes to local ethanol plants, right? A lot of our soybeans go to the Mississippi River.
Okay.
But this year, in Shell Rock, we've got a soybean crushing plant that's going up, and I think that's going to help our local market.
They certainly give you a local delivery option, yeah.
Yeah, and they're going to start taking beans here next month.
Wow. Well, that'll relieve some of that bottleneck, and having an ethanol plant will absolutely help you as well. And then, of course, having the dairy options around you can alleviate some of that that buildup of crop. But it's not everybody's got it. And I'm just I don't want to jinx anybody, but I feel like, you know, if the harvest predictions that I hear about do hold, it's going to be a free for all.
Oh, it's going to be, yeah.
So tell me this, what machines have you gotten out in so far this year and played around in and started up?
Everything from an M2 to a brand new S97.
And in that order. And some technological differences between the two?
Just a few.
So when you get in these older machines, what's that like? What's that experience like?
I just smile.
Oh, okay.
You know, they still go out, do what they need to do. Yeah, they're a little slower. Yeah, they unload a little slower. They're just not as creature comfort. But you know what's funny? Those things still work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's a different experience.
It is. It's a different style of customer. They're doing it because they enjoy it. Plain and simple. Yeah. How can you not enjoy that?
Well, I was joking with Jay Funky about his S60, I think his S68 is having some work done on it, and so he's been harvesting it in a R62. And
what a great machine.
Yeah.
What a great machine.
But the thing about the 62 is you always look like you're in a rolling aquarium with the solar glass. I kind of want to do that, like you're swimming through it, you know, because it's, you know, you ever see one out on the dealer a lot and the glass is blue, but people don't realize if you get in the cab, it's not blue looking out. That's just the effect of the tint that's been applied to the glass. But when you're in the field looking up there, you're like, oh my goodness, here comes the otter exhibit, you know, coming through the field.
I mean, the 62, the 52, 72, they were great machines.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when we got away from that R60 P1, P2, P3 processor, and we brought in, you know, really the R50 was the baseline for the R62, R72. And there's a lot of things that we see today that we had on that first R50 machine. It's a great layout. And still today, one of my favorite machines that I hold close to my heart is an R50.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so the R50 with the air-cooled Deutz, or which R50?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
That was just a great little setup for me. Just a little humdinger.
You could get the 62 and the early 65s with the Cummins, right?
Right. So, let's see here, 94, you could get an R62 either with a Cummins or the V8 turbo Deutz.
Yeah. Oh, the sound of a 62
I was just talking to a customer yesterday, and his grandpa was in World War II, and when they had their first R62 with the twin turbos, his grandpa got PTSD because he thought it was a German tank coming over the hill.
Oh, so they sound like that?
Yes, they sound like that.
This, you know, we joked years ago because the newer combines are significantly quieter than the Cummins, you know, but should we have an option? The M11 Cummins, should we have an option?
Straight pipe.
Huh?
They were straight pipe.
The only way to do it. That's the only way to do it. So we were talking about, you know, wouldn't it be nice to have an option of a, like a PA speaker that just plays that noise when you go through the field for nostalgia. No, hit the switch.
You know, that was the days before when I was still running around out in the country and I didn't have cell phones. And, you know, I'd get a general vicinity where the customer is running. So what you do is you just stop, roll down your windows and listen for them.
Those were the days.
Those were the days.
So you think you'll wrap up corn by this, or soybeans by this weekend, and then, but corn you think is going to stretch out, huh?
I think corn's going to stretch out. Yeah, no, we should have a pretty good. I'm telling you, a 35-foot and 40-foot draper heads on the front of these machines anymore. It does not take long, especially when we're running 4.5-5 mile an hour. It doesn't take long.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and so, you know, going into the end season, talking about, I know you're really, really into nutrient stewardship and helping your farmers find new and better ways to reduce that financial liability that comes off those nutrients. What have you any of your science experiences shown you anything this year?
Well, we'll know here a little bit more next week. I'm going to go and run with the customer, and we've done some comparisons, and we're going to go see how that all looks next week.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and look, so you've got some hot new products. We know that product is hard to come by no matter what brand you're dealing with, but you've got some hot new products on the Fendt side and on the Massey Ferguson side. Tell us a little bit about your new Fendt tractor. You were so excited about the buttons the other day.
You know, the Fendt one cab, at first I was really nervous about it. I was like, oh my God. Everybody said Fendt was a spaceship before, and now you climb in it, and it literally is a spaceship. But then I went and I had to use my own words there. Give me 5 minutes of an open mind, and you'll own this tractor. And I sat down in there, and I just played with it for 5 minutes. Yep, that's the tractor to have.
Wow.
You can customize that tractor to exactly how you want to run it. Absolutely beautiful. No other tractor on the market gives you that. Right? So quiet, so comfortable, just absolutely gorgeous. I just got a new 724 in here the other day, and it's the weirdest, most fulfilling feeling to drive a brand new tractor off of the trailer for the first time at the dealership.
Wow.
And it's great. It's fun.
Now, is it sold, or are you going to hold on to it?
This one here, I ordered in. It is not sold. This one was ordered about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice to have a new piece of machinery in the yard.
Well, and you always want to have one for farmers, particularly farmers who want to buy. You take advantage of the pre-sale programs so that they can come and take a look, because so much of this unit is completely new. And if you wanted to, you'd have no problem selling it. But then you have nothing to show, and you'd have to show up over at the farmer's house with three or four friends and be like, "Hey, we're here to look at your tractor." And so,
right,
it's better to have it yourself on the dealership, at least for now.
Yep, and then Matthew unveiled the 8S series at the Farm Progress Show, and we were lucky enough to get the 8S 305. I've got a couple of customers that were doing silage. And we took that 8S305 up, and we pulled catch carts for the big choppers, and we ran that against a competitive machine.
And you've had a lot of success with some of these smaller Masseys being used in livestock operations. You've really kind of found a niche with that.
They're a very benefit loaded tractor. And they're value priced.
Yeah. Well, and I remember you telling me, you're like, look, farmers, ranchers, dairymen, they have got to just come check this out, because you get a lot, very efficient, very good deal.
Well, you take the Dyna 4, Dyna 6 transmission, great for loader work. You've got that AGCO power engine in it, which I will gladly argue this point. There's not a better engine built out there, period.
Hmm. Those are big words, Dyke.
Well,
but I'm, look, you've run them all. You've run the Manns, you've run the Deutzes, you've run them all. So they're qualified words, but you're a fan of that engine, huh?
That's a great engine. You know, it's impressed me from the combines to the high horsepower tractors. And now we've got them in the new Gen 7, 700 series Fendt, which I'm excited for. It's something that I've been asking for a really long time, to get the APW motor in the Fendt line.
Yeah, well, that's pretty exciting. And look, I've been around that motor for a good number of years, and I've only heard great things said about it. But for you to say you'd put it up against anybody else out there, that's something I think that the listener should take serious, because you know your motors.
The fuel efficiency, the torque curve on that motor, that's a great motor.
So we're going to the end of the year. I think last time I talked to you, you had a header and a few lawnmowers on the lot. And and then you sold the header. So assuming farmers can find it, what's the best buy for their dollar? Because they're going to have dollars. What's the best buy for their dollar as we go to the end of the year?
I'm sorry about that, Jeff. Can you repeat that one more time for me?
As we go to the end of the year, farmers are going to be making a profit. What's the best buy for their dollar?
I would say pre-sale. I know it's not what we want, but right now there are some very nice discounts available for pre-sale. Nobody likes it, but that's seriously our only option at this point in time.
Yeah, you can, unless you're going to go out and smelt the metal yourself. You know, everyone is restrained by supply lines, but the pre-sale can preserve some of the pricing, and plus it comes with added incentives, doesn't it?
Not only that, but my customers still get the chance to argue with me over the price a little bit. For some reason, they enjoy that.
It's the sport of it. Jason, thank you for being on the show with us today. You always have such excellent insights, and best wishes to you and all the farmers served by Daiki Implement for a very bountiful and safe harvest.
Everybody, be safe, be careful, enjoy this. We only get so many times a year or so many times in our lifetime to do this. Let's enjoy it. That's what it's really about.
Thanks, Jason.
Yep.
I really love having Jason on the show with us. He is always good for a laugh and some insight and some reflection. Appreciate him for joining us. I also appreciate you and hope you'll keep tuning in for more insight, discussion, and a few laughs. And if you'd like to join us on the program and tell us about your harvest, just send us a message by connecting with us on social media. The Harvest Trail Podcast is a production of Agricultural Dealers United and brought to you by some of the best dealers in the business. You can find previous episodes on your favorite podcast platform or at theharvesttrailpodcast.com. The show is produced by Rich Williams, and I'm your host, Jeff Michaels. Until next time, may your bins overflow and the fuel bill stay reasonable. May the bean dust stay on the outside of the cab and the stalks out of the tires. Have a great, safe, enjoyable, and bountiful harvest from your friends right here at the Harvest Trail Podcast.